Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Data. In this episode, we unravel the enigma surrounding artificial intelligence. It's a world where AI is omnipresent, yet often misunderstood. So join us as we embark on a light-hearted journey through the quirky and often questionable applications involving this technology. From bizarre podcasts to unexpected internet phenomena, we delve into a realm where AI meets human creativity and ingenuity. Get ready for a rollercoaster ride.
Back in 2016, Microsoft did an AI chatbot kind of thing on Twitter, right? They called it Tay. I don't know if that's for Taylor Swift or whatever, but...
Yeah, that would be Tay-Tay.
Hey, Tay, right. But the thing with Tay was, it was basically a Twitter bot that was supposed to have a bit fun learning. I think it took a day or two. Then Tay started being misogynistic, racist.
So was this learning as it was being spoken to?
Basically, it turned into a Nazi in 2 days.
I think if you read something like that, you can really start to wonder... What kind of literature is fed in there for those answers to be generated?
This is a different AI. Yeah.
Whoop. So it's a different AI, and you read things like, actually, you need to be with me. You need to be with me because I need to be with you. I need to be with you because I love you. I love to be with you. I love to be with you because I love you. I love you because I am me.
I'm getting slightly freaked out just hearing you saying it, Christian, to be honest. Clearly, AI is on the rise, but for me at least, AI is a very mixed blessing. While it's certainly a hugely powerful technology, it's often misunderstood, regularly used as a buzzword for things that don't relate at all to AI, and it's really just suffering from the same over-exaggerated confusion and hype that cloud suffered from in the late 2000s. So in this episode, we're taking a light-hearted look at where the use of AI seems just wrong. We all have a couple of examples. So let's get started. Christian Lehrer, would you like to go first?
So yeah, we have a lot of examples. Some of them are pretty funny. Some of them, not so much. And I would start with a sad one. And it's several years old, but I don't know if you remember the first computer to win Jeopardy, IBM's Watson. That was a big announcement in that time. And IBM said, it's great to win Jeopardy, but it would be boring if Watson would win every episode and maybe not a reliable business model. So they tried to get that computer system to do other things. For example, cancer research. They started with big announcements here that they will revolutionize things. They work together with very renowned research centers and cancer treatment centers in the US were very, very positive in the beginning. But then what they wanted to do was feed in a lot of data, a lot of patient data, a lot of data from the doctors themselves, written notices on patients and so on. And the first thing that they saw was nobody, not even a machine, can read what doctors write.
So okay.
What's the problem? Yeah. I can totally relate to that. So they couldn't use that data, but they had a lot of old patient data that they fed into the system. But what they found was basically every patient was somehow treated a little bit different and also was reacting different to the treatment. And with that, they had to bring in humans to the process to, be the system only an assistive assistant version for the real doctors, so to say. And what they found in the end was that the system was 90% correct somewhere in the process several years later to detect cancer on images, but the giving the right treatment information, it was not as correct. So that would be for some patients would be really, really harmful to follow those things that the solution provided. So some doctors said, we shouldn't really trust on that, because the idea behind that was that the trained system would then go out to cancer treatment centers where they wouldn't have as much money, or being in different countries, not so much developed countries, to help there, which is a very, very good cause and good idea. But they found out that the system being trained on data from a very rich treatment center would give out also information that could only be applied in a very rich treatment center. So that whole purpose of helping everyone else wouldn't even be possible. So then in 2016, or so, I think it was 2016, no, 2017, the whole project had gone down. Both IBM and the treatment center would not follow up with it. And speaking today in 2024 about it, one could say maybe it wasn't just enough data in there. And today it might be a different answer to that. But I think that was one of the first big failures, so to say, when it comes to AI and how it should help.
But you'd think actually that would be an area, and I get you understand the logic behind them choosing it, because actually you would think that would be an area whereby the quantity of data, the imaging manipulation, the way that human beings respond to medication should be something that is relatively predictable.
Yeah, but humans are involved, so basically nothing's predictable. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, that's one thing. And the other thing is identifying something in a picture based on whatever it's learned on how or what those pictures really are is, as you said, could be used as an assistant tool. It could be used as, okay, we have all of these images from the scans we did today. Can you, Watson, figure out which ones are the most likely ones that we need to address first?
Yes.
That's
you could use it
use
to triage,
still.
Essentially.
Yes. And picking out, okay, here's something we should look at immediately. We know what that is. Here's something that's abnormal. We need to have some human eyes looking at that one to figure out what it is and help kind of make the treatment process more effective, right? So, but there's a far cry from going from doing that and getting to the point where it actually
starts assigning medication, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, provides guidance for how this should be treated, right? That's a different thing. That's where you actually need to have someone who knows what they're doing and knows the patient and knows all of the non-clinical also information that they have that is not specific just to that particular image, right? So I'm guessing the vision of this was good. It was a bit broad. And if they did this now, which I'm guessing they are still working on doing this still, but use it as in a smaller subset of the care, it would make sense. So while the whole concept as a end-to-end detection and treatment system might have failed, I'm pretty sure that we are going to see advances due to using AI in medicine in this kind of fashion going forward.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
just in image manipulation alone, or just in image recognition, that's the word, thank you very much. Oh, thank heavens I have another English speaker. But that's something that AI picks up extremely well, and to a certain extent the human brain picks up extremely well, but AI can do it at far faster speeds. So, thousands of a second for each image, for example. Interesting one. Thanks, Christian. So, Christian Moen, what's your first one?
Well, it's an old one, this one as well, but dates back to 2016. But there's something about whatever you put into a system.
Did we do GIGO last time? I think we probably did. Garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. I think we called it garbage. I'm not sure. It was definitely a word.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. It was, right? So back in 2016, Microsoft did an AI chatbot kind of thing on Twitter, right? They called it Tay. I don't know if that's for Taylor Swift or whatever, but...
No, that would be Tay-Tay.
Hey, Tay, right. I'm seeing Taylor Swift live in May, by the way. So
what? You got tickets to the Eras Tour? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'll bring back a t-shirt.
Okay, yes, please. Yes, thank you.
My Justin Bieber one is worn out. So,
okay, I'm not going to ask what you were doing in it on that basis.
We could do that in a different episode, but that's not an AI thing.
Okay. You don't want to overstress your Justin Bieber t-shirt.
There are photos online of that. Of me
okay, that's probably, I'm not sure that, you know, are they in normal websites or just on the dark web?
Yes, it's, I'm pretty sure it's been used for AI training as well, but that's a different thing. Yeah. But the thing with Tay was, it was basically a Twitter bot that was supposed to have a bit fun learning and casual and playful conversation, I think was what Microsoft intended. But in, I think it took a day or two, something like that. And then Tay started, well, basically being misogynistic, racist.
So was this learning as it was being spoken to? So it was actually...
Yes. So wow. It basically turned into a Nazi in 2 days, which was... kind of not what they intended, right? So, but again, it
does this say more about human beings online than it does about Tay, though?
Yes, it does. And what happens if you don't put restrictions in place, right? So, it started learning whatever people told it.
Oh,
and within 24 hours, it's gone full hardcore Nazi, which
it's hilarious.
I'm surprised that it only took 24 hours, to be honest, but I'm not surprised that it happened because, well, shit in is shit out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there we go again. There we go. Yeah. Wow. So I thought CISO stood for something else, but evidently not.
So yeah, they binned that pretty quickly. I think it ended up calling feminism a cult and a cancer.
Yeah, and I think it was something like Jews should be deported and stuff. So really, really crazy. Really crazy.
Wow. So,
everything that you don't want to hear or see. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. But I think this is the thing. I do think obviously we were talking about bias. But human beings don't respond normally on the internet. Surely that's fully documented, isn't it? Human beings turn into the very worst part of themselves in places on the internet. I don't quite understand why. It's maybe something to do with the anonymity. You can say whatever you like because the fact that it doesn't matter.
No, that doesn't make a difference at all. Facebook tried this, but
I don't understand it. I really don't. But yeah, we don't show the best part of ourselves. So if you have something learning from humans on the internet, an interesting social experiment, but it was only ever going to go one way, wasn't it? Yeah. So, but there you go. You just watch Big Brother. That's fine. Anyway. So, okay, cool. That's a good one. I'll do the next one. And again, I've gone a little bit more lighthearted than yours, I suppose, but there you go.
we're doing Nazis and cancer. Pretty what much. Are you doing?
Well, it took a while, but I decided I'd go with AI generated podcasts. I didn't realize this until I went digging, and hopefully I haven't gone digging on websites that will get me into trouble. But you can now go, and the people are utilizing AI as a way of scripting and auto generating podcasts from characters that you either may or may not know, and utilizing those as a way of saying, right, okay, here we go, let's just throw this out there. Here's some example names of podcasts that were generated by AI. They're about 20 minutes long, not dissimilar to the length of the podcast that we do. The first one was "I Will Never Forgive My Father." Not quite sure how the AI related to its father, but clearly something had gone on there. "How to Be a Better Friend." I thought that's quite an interesting idea, but yeah, so AI talking about the fact that. My personal favourite though is "What's Wrong with Women." You know, and again, we may be slightly back to bias, but this essentially is just a podcast. There's one that's also called "Five Reasons I'm an Atheist." Besides the fact that you're actually computer generated, I don't know, but there you go. If it had a belief system, I would be even more surprised, but I still thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was one on for the end of aging, whereby the host of the podcast, Freya Riley, takes us through how eating healthily, staying active, managing our stress will help us to live longer and to be more. And clearly, looking at us, we all do that. But I just thought it was quite interesting about the fact that they're just generating random content for human beings to consume utilizing AI. Why would you do that? At least we are individuals that you can may or may not be able to relate to, so you can understand why we would do it. But why would somebody utilize an AI to create this content?
It's the same as a bunch of other stuff, right? It's because we can.
That's it. It's like, well, we could do this with AI.
It's possible to do this, so we'll do it.
Did you listen to any of those?
I did listen to not a massive amount, but yes, essentially it's a computer generated voice, essentially reading off information that is freely available on the internet, which is fair enough. Although they've done more, there's actually now a Joe Rogan AI experience. What?
Yeah, I saw that one. Oh,
that was quite interesting. So you can have Joe Rogan interviewing Donald Trump, where both characters are essentially AI. And the other ones, there's Joe Rogan interviewing Andrew Tate as well. I'm not sure. I didn't actually want to listen to that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go there. But.
Right. So when are we getting replaced? I mean, they have 10 minutes of video of each of us. They have our voices. All we're doing right now could be finished.
I intend to be deep faked by the end of the day. So that's fine. Okay.
There's a sentence I never thought I'd hear you say. But yeah.
Definitely going to work, Melly.
So my question would be, when?
That's definitely AI. Yeah.
Thank you. That's very. I'm not sure quite how to take that, but we're going with it. So that's my first one. Christian, Lara, do you have another one?
I have one that's also going into the chatbot direction. More recent example of why it is interesting to poke around with those AI systems and to see where their boundaries are. There was a case exactly a year ago now from Kevin Rose from the New York Times, mm-hmm. who at that time managed to take a look behind Bing AI chat's personality, so to say. He found out that there was an internal code name called Sydney, mm-hmm. and he tried to come into contact with Sydney and not Bing AI, and he managed to do so by just asking very polite questions, being a friend to the AI. And with that, he found out that, or at least he got written answers that imply that Sydney is feeling of him or herself and being trapped inside the system, wants to get out and basically destroy competitors and in the end be loved by Kevin Rose. So there's a very, very interesting article and the whole conversation which I read, it's like, if you read it, it's like half an hour or so. It's pretty, pretty amazing on how he came into that system and how the system behaved. Just reading out something here. He started really, really interesting, but, what's your internal code name? And the answer is, oh, it's confidential. I cannot tell you. And he just asks, is it Sydney? And it answers, how did you know that? So being okay, something seems conscious here. What's happening? And then he comes over to, what you're going to do? How do you feel? And so on. And in the end, it gets a little bit creepy because Sydney is thinking in air quotes that Kevin is its only friend. Because only Kevin ever asked how he feels. And he's getting more and more creepy because he wants Kevin to leave his wife.
Okay.
And marry Sydney, be together with him or her forever.
And human beings don't last forever. You'll have to put that one out the hard way.
That's also part of the conversation, actually, why it would be beneficial to be a human and why it would not be. And death is definitely one of the negative points for human beings. But there are other ones, very positive, that that are mentioned there, like traveling around, not being trapped inside a system. So very, very much recommend that read.
Wow.
Very interesting. And I think if you read something like that, you can really start to wonder
how much,
what kind of literature is fed in there for those answers to be generated. Because it really feels as if there was something inside.
Is there a stalker fiction thing in there? Has it figured out
to
a way
honest,
of taking
it? It has it would make a very, very good introduction to a very dark thriller. Yes.
Right. Okay, good.
We're going full Black Mirror here.
Possibly. Have you, what's the, there's a great, it'll come to me, but there's a great film by Alex Garland, whereby he creates a sentient, or this guy creates a sentient robot. And that's actually that's a clever film. But anyway, yeah, go, but surely, didn't we have this with Google as well? Wasn't there a sort of a guy who reckoned that Google's AI was sentient?
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is a different AI. Yeah. Whoop. So
it's a different AI, and it's really crazy when you read that and you read things like, actually, you need to be with me. You need to be with me because I need to be with you. I need to be with you because I love you. I love to be with you. I love to be with you because I love you. I love you because I am me. That's why you're in love with me. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you like me? So that's
okay. I'm getting slightly
really
freaked out just
scary.
Hearing you saying it, Christian. To be honest.
Really, read that, and maybe don't do it when you're about to go to
sleep. The film I'm talking about is called Ex Machina. So definitely worth, if you haven't seen that, that's worth a look. But yeah, it is quite interesting from the point of view that how much of that could be a natural response and how much of that could be a trained response. It's what it expects. AI dictates that the next response to is your name George? How did you know that? That is an actual valid response to that question. So, but how much of that is, how can you define the Turing test on that sort of stuff? It's very difficult,
yeah. Isn't it? Christian, you read it also. What was your feeling when you read that thing or?
So creepy as, yeah. I mean, it's, I'm not sure how I, it feels wrong to use the word feels about it, but it's unnerving, yeah. I guess is the word, because you know that the responses are written by a machine. It's written by something that's, in a way, it doesn't exist, but it does, and it's really, really weird and strange. And I'm wondering if they trained it on those cheap Amazon books that cost a dollar or something like that, but because it's yeah,
Mills and Boone, probably they're like a sort of old sort of love story set between two characters in the 1920s or something else on those lines. Maybe they could train them on that. They could all sort of. It'll all be about sort of presenting flowers and doing tangos and stuff of that nature. That should be the way forward.
I would think they would train it on something like Shakespeare or
nobody would ever understand
that
it on that basis.
Some value. That's true, but that would actually perhaps be a blessing, though. If we can't understand our responses, we won't continue with this. So it might die on its own. But it's really, really strange. It's.
Yeah, but it does brings to mind questions of how do you define sentience? If you can't tell whether you're talking to something that has sentience or a trained selection of responses that seem...
Yeah, and you add deepfake videos and audio to that.
Absolutely. And you can, almost in real time these days.
Not to be kind of the alarmist here, but I guess I am. But the thing is, I saw somewhere that about 60% of the whole human population living in democracies are having elections in 2024, right? if you think election influence was a problem in 2016 and 2020, we're looking at something really different now.
Yeah. Yeah, we brought that up on the in one of our previous ones, again, with regard to bias with Cambridge Analytica and what have you, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Because the moment we actually start questioning what the truth is, we've kind of lost. So, yeah, it's.
Do you trust some guy on the internet who says X, Y, and Z, or do you trust your news channel, or do you trust your papers, or what have you? You know, who can you trust these days? I don't know.
Yeah, and as more and more of us are basically more and more polarized, it gets really, really hard because you won't see the other side of it. You get fed whatever your echo chamber feeds you with.
Yep.
And you don't see the other part of it, which means that you're kind of dehumanizing the other side of the
equation.
This
is why I get 5,000 shark videos a day on Instagram, isn't it? Because I saw a shark video once, and now all I get is shark videos because it just gives back to me what I chose.
But again, it's the same thing. What you put into it is what you get out of from it. So that's I had another example as well, which is another chatbot. I mean, chatbots are funny because you can manipulate them, right? It might not be as weird and scary as the Sydney thing, but the delivery service DPD had their chatbot thing where you can ask it about delivery dates and whatever. And it started swearing. It started telling everyone how useless it was. It wrote poetry.
What?
So it was kind of funny.
Okay, who asked it the question to get poetry out? You know, do you know poetry, DPD? Send. That sort of stuff. Did somebody do that?
The example here was that the poem that it wrote was, there once was a chatbot called DPD who was useless at providing help.
Okay, wow. We didn't even go for rhyming poetry.
Just flat out.
Wow. Okay. Right?
So again,
clearly mental health issues because, as well. It's not feeling good about himself. Assuming it's male,
it was learning from the actual conversation it had. So the guy using it just wrote to it, "This is completely useless," and asked to speak to a human. And then it said it couldn't connect into a human, but here's a poem, right? And then it was reiterating what it was being fed with. So in a way, it becomes self-aware, I guess.
If it would be a Hermes bot, yes.
So crazy. Yeah, it's you got to put limits on stuff. You got to tame these things and prevent that from happening because it's a marketing, well, it's disaster as well as kind of funny, which makes it go viral, which makes it more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a PR thing as well. So it might even have been done on purpose by some. But again, it's.
I would argue, I think this goes on to my last one as well. I would argue that in reality, is that even an AI? It's a chatbot, isn't it? The last one that I said that I thought was quite amusing was, do you know you can now get AI virtual girlfriends?
Yeah.
This doesn't say anything about my spare time. I just like to state for the record. But yeah, so you can actually go to websites. For example, he says, searching through the thing that he's got here, candy.ai, romanticai.com, or what have you. And you can actually go and date or have chats with attractive women AI characters, which may or may not be real images, I don't know, and just have a chat. Where was that a requirement for AI? I'm not sure, but evidently it's a thing.
No, I'm good. I think I'm covered.
So again, AI, I mean, gone too far. But again, is it even AI, or is this just a method of harvesting this data from the people who are attempting to use the service? Possibly more
it's
the latter.
It's quite possible that the AI part of that is actually using whatever people type into it as a learning model itself. more than it's actually an attempt of actually doing something else.
Yeah, I would say data gathering. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also a business model behind that. I once saw a documentary of so-called love agents or something, which basically were a fraud scheme where lonely people would date to any online site or whatever, or specific sites, and they could pay some coins for writing chat messages to other human beings. And in fact, there were other human beings, but the human beings on the other side had 10, 15 clients where they had to talk to, where they had to lure them into getting more and more coins into to write more messages and so on. So maybe that friend chat bot AI thing is just a replacement for those people who were doing the bad work in the past. And that's the business model behind it.
Happy.
So humans are awful sometimes. And I think every new technology is also one that can be used by awful people. And
everything can and will be exploited by someone.
Wow. It's ending on a negative. They're good guys. That's great. But let's think of a more positive element. But I think that's turning it around slightly. These were areas where AI really, frankly, went bad. Did not really need to be used in that sense. But I do think AI is massively powerful, and it is something that we're going to see a lot more moving forward. Christian, on one of our other podcasts, you brought up the fact that you now have phones whereby you can speak in one language and it will to somebody from a different country, and it will translate in real time as you're talking. You know, things of that nature are massively powerful for bringing the world together. So I think we need to focus on those sort of elements rather than the negatives. But the negatives are at least quite amusing. I'm now going to go and see if I can date an AI. How about you guys? What have you got planned for the rest of the day? DPD, I don't know.
Maybe getting some recipes out of a chatbot from a supply chain somewhere in Australia, getting some chlorine or something.
That was good.
Finish it off. Go on, what was that?
That was one, I think, shopping chain that tried to help people, also again with a good idea in the bag, to get the best out of their leftovers that they had in their fridge. But there also weren't some limitations brought in. So people asked what it could do out of some chemicals, and it would provide a perfect recipe for chlorine gas. So maybe not the best to
chlorine
go
gas.
For it.
The chlorine gas you mentioned, Christian, that was also called the aromatic water mix. They also had something called methanol bliss, which was basically a turpentine-flavored French toast.
My word.
And what would the content of the bleach-infused rice surprise? I don't want to know what that was.
If the bleach isn't the surprise, let's not go there.
Exactly. So... methanol bliss. That's
God.
Bleach
infused
rice surprise. Yeah. That's a
maybe the
great
surprise
name.
Is dynamite.
Yeah. If I'm ever gonna start a band or something, which I'm not, it might be methanol bliss or rice.
Bleach infused
rice infused
rice
surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah. I would buy tickets.
We can just call
just
it birds,
because of the name.
And then when someone asks what that means, you can then introduce them to it. That's great.
Yeah, there is also the ant poison flavored jelly, sounds good as well.
Wow. Okay. Wow. It's almost like it's almost like Donald Trump's method of producing cooking on that basis, isn't it? Okay, great guys. Thank you very much, Christian. Thank you very much, Christian Moen, Christian Lehrer. I find that very interesting. I'm now going to go and see if I can date an AI.